This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What is up, my spooky bitches? We are back with another episode of the Hello Sydney podcast, a podcast for horror lovers where we discuss any and all things horror. And it's me, your girl, Sydney. This is episode 18. So we're legal. We're legal today. But in reality, I feel like I've been doing this for so long. Like, I feel like I've been doing this for longer than 18 weeks. It feels like it's been like a lifetime in like the best way possible, personally. So the pod's legal. It's a full-blown teenager. And the last like 4 or 5 weeks, we've been doing some like informal episodes because I've been doing my horror by decades episodes. But today we're going back to the roots and we're talking about a specific film. And I figured what better film to come back with than a film that I believe to be a pivotal and a groundbreaking film for the horror genre as a whole, but specifically for the found footage subgenre. And obviously, I'm talking about none other than the Blair Witch Project from 1999. And again, I just think this is like an iconic film for the genre. But one of my favorite horror facts, like my little factoids that I throw out at parties and shit, one of my favorite facts, or like one of my favorite movies to talk about facts wise, is the Blair Witch Project, just because of the amount of like shenanigans. I really have no other way to describe it. The shenanigans that went on behind the scenes and how this movie was filmed. And it's groundbreaking, obviously, for the film itself, but I believe it's also groundbreaking for the marketing that it did. And it's also groundbreaking because I think that what these directors did and how they captured this footage has never been done before and will never be done again. I saw this meme the other day, and I'm probably going to post a TikTok about it this week. And it says something, it's not a meme, it's just like a quote. And it just says, if there's one horror movie that you could have been on the set for, what would it be? And my answer, the first one that comes up, would be Blair Witch. And by the end of this episode, you are going to know why that is my answer, because it is so batshit insane how they filmed this movie and what they did. So I'm going to do a full breakdown of this movie. And then at the end, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about like exactly what went on behind the scenes in the making of this movie, because it really is kind of hard to believe. And it really makes you have a deep appreciation for this movie, but also especially for the actors and for everybody involved in it, when you figure out and like hear about the work that went on behind it and how like these actors were actually like literally being tortured. Now, before we get into the breakdown, let me explain why I think the goings on behind this movie were so crazy. This movie is entirely unscripted. So basically, this movie was written and directed by Daniel Myrick. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I want to say Myrick, might be Myrick. I don't know. I'm going to say Myrick. Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez. And they came up with this legend of the Blair Witch in about 1993. And from that legend, they came up with a 35-page screenplay, and it was intended that the dialogue all be improvised. And they posted like a casting call advertisement on some like back, like some low budget website or magazine, whatever, because this was the 90s. About 2,000 people showed up, and the three people that ended up getting the part were Heather Donahue, Michael Williams, and Joshua Leonard. And they all kept their same names in the movie. So Heather, Mike, and Josh. And now the reason that they kept their own names, because actually originally the names of the characters in this screenplay were supposed to be Jane, Bob, and Bill, like the most basic names ever. The reason that they kept these names is because the movie was entirely like ad-libbed and improvised. They wanted it to be more genuine. So they wanted to keep their own real names so that like in the heat of the moment, they could refer to each other by their real names. The directors agreed. And so is born the masterpiece that is the Blair Witch Project. So I'm going to get into the recap, but again, going through this, keep in mind this whole movie was completely improvised and the actors literally were in the middle of the woods for 8 days. I'll get into more of all of this later, but the actors were in the middle of the woods for 8 days. They were being communicated with by the directors and the very small production crew through walkie-talkies, and the production crew would literally like leave them little boxes every day with notes for each of them telling them like, okay, these are the events that are going to happen today. Like, this is what I want you to do. And like some food for the day. And that was it. So going through the recap of this movie, I want you to keep that in mind because none of these actors had any fucking idea what was about to happen to them. And when I say everything, everything is improvised. So let's get into it. I think the reason that this movie had such a commercial success and just like is so successful all these years later is because of how like gritty it is and how convincing it is. So this movie opens up with this like grainy, silent opening of these words explaining how three film students disappeared in the woods in Burkittsville, Maryland in 1994, and a year later their footage was found. And then the title card shows up, The Blair Witch Project. There's no music in the background. It's dead silent. And again, it is just like this grainy wording, and it's just so real. So then the actual movie part starts, and we meet Josh and Heather. And Josh and Heather are both filming separately, and they're two film students, and they're setting off in the woods to film a documentary about the Blair Witch. So at the beginning, Josh and Heather are kind of referencing like some books that they have, like the things that they're packing. So they're packing a book called How to Stay Alive in the Woods, and they're also packing a book about what happened at Coffin Rock. So we don't find out yet what happened at Coffin Rock, but they reference it right off the rip. So Heather and Josh pack up the car and they go to get the third person, who is Mike, and Mike gets in the car and he's like, thank you guys for the opportunity. So clearly like Mike didn't know the two of them before, but the three of them all go grocery shopping and like get stuff prepared because obviously they're going to be camping out. While they're in the grocery store, or they're in like a diner or something, they ask one girl, have you ever heard about the Blair Witch? And the girl says, yeah, like I went to Blair High School or whatever, which is actually a nod to, I think it was Eduardo Sanchez's fiance went to Blair High School. So that's kind of where they got this whole name. So then we get Heather's opening monologue of the documentary. So we're getting some like black and white footage of the Burkittsville, Maryland sign. And we hear Heather explaining how they're in Burkittsville, Maryland, formerly Blair. And in this town, there were an unusually high amount of children laid to rest in the cemetery. And there's like footage of the cemetery and all the headstones. And it's specifically from the 1940s. And some people attribute that to the legend of the Blair Witch. I'm just going to throw a little factoid in here. So the Blair Witch is not real. Hate to break it to you. This was actually, again, something that was completely developed by Sanchez and Myrick. That's what led them to create this movie. They first came up with the legend of the Blair Witch, and then they came up with this movie as a result. But they did not tell the actors that. So Heather, Mike, and Josh went into this movie entirely believing that the legend of the Blair Witch was real. And now the next scene coming up is them doing some interviews of townspeople. And they thought that the townspeople were all just like random people, but some of them were planted actors. So essentially like the directors and the film crew were just playing mind games with the actors to get a true authentic reaction in this movie, and it fucking works, and you'll see that. So Heather, Josh, and Mike are interviewing some townspeople about the Blair Witch, which again, most of them are all plants and like feeding into the legend of the Blair Witch. So as actors, Mike, Heather, and Josh are like believing this more and more. So they're interviewing some locals, and one guy tells them about this hermit that used to live up in this house like in the woods, and his name was Rustin Parr. This guy explains how in the fall and winter of 1940, a bunch of kids in the town started disappearing. And he tells a story about how one day this guy came out of his house in the woods and said, I'm finally finished. And everybody was like, finished with what? And they went to investigate his house, and that's where they found the bodies of seven children. So the way he would kill these children is he would take them to his basement in twos. He would have one stand in the corner, like facing the wall, and he would kill the other so that the kid in the corner could hear it. And then he would go get the other one in the corner and kill them too. So some other locals, they're really just asking them, like, have you ever heard of the Blair Witch? And some of them are saying, like, yeah, everybody around here knows about the Blair Witch. It's kind of the story that my grandma would tell to make us go to sleep. Like, if you don't go to sleep, the Blair Witch is going to come get you. And then another lady tells a story about how these two guys went off into the woods to look for her, and they disappeared completely off the face of the earth. And Heather asks this woman, like, do you believe it? Do you actually believe in the Blair Witch? And she's like, I believe it enough not to go up there or go in there, like into the woods. Another little fun fact here. So the woman that told that story, and it's if you've seen the movie, it's the woman that's holding the kid and the kid's like telling her to shush. So that woman was not an actress. She completely improvised the whole story that she told. They literally just randomly picked her off the street because, again, like Mike, Heather, and Josh were directed to just go up to random people and ask about the Blair Witch. Again, most of them being plants, but this woman was not. And she just like on the spot made up this story about the Blair Witch. So fucking props to this lady. So then one of the locals tells them about Mary Brown, and they're like, okay, well, who is Mary Brown? And they're like, oh, she's just some crazy local lady that apparently had an encounter with the Blair Witch. So they find Mary Brown, which another little fun fact here. So when they were casting for this movie and trying to find the crew and everything, they had made a post on a college campus saying that they were looking for somebody to help out to be like on the art side or like on the crew, basically like the production crew of this movie. And this woman was the only person who responded to the ad, and they ended up putting her in the movie as Mary Brown. So they go to interview Mary Brown, and she explains how when she was a kid, her and her dad would go fishing, and one day she saw this woman in the woods who was completely covered in hair. Like, she had dark hair covering her body like horse fur, and she was wearing a wool shawl, and she didn't say anything, but she opened her shawl and there was just more hair, and she had this strange looking face. So Heather, Mike, and Josh leave, and they're kind of talking about how, oh, obviously she's just crazy, and obviously we can tell from the locals interview that Mary Brown has a reputation just for being the crazy lady in town, and nobody really believes her. So next shot, we get Mike, Heather, and Josh back in the hotel room. They're drinking, they're having fun, and they're getting everything ready for the next day because that's when they're setting out into the woods. And the next day, that's exactly what they do. So they get in the car, they drive to the trail, and they get out and they start walking, and they encounter these two guys who are in the woods who are fishing at this little creek, and they're asking them about the Blair Witch, and one guy says, oh, it's a myth. But then they go on to tell this story about a girl named Robin Weaver in the late 1800s, and she disappeared into the woods without a trace. And then 3 days later, she appeared back at her grandmother's doorstep babbling about this old woman whose feet didn't touch the ground. That part to me is the scariest part of this whole fucking movie. That part for some reason just always like sends a chill down my spine whenever I watch it. So this girl's missing for 3 days, shows up back at her grandmother's porch and says something about a woman whose feet never touched the ground. And then that same fisherman proceeds to say how one time he was like in the same spot and he saw this gray vapor like coming out of the woods. And basically he knows the area has been haunted by that old woman for years, like referencing the old woman whose feet never touched the ground. But obviously this isn't enough to scare Heather, Mike, and Josh away because they continue on. And now they set out for Coffin Rock. So this is the rock that they referenced earlier. And now we finally find out what exactly Coffin Rock is. So Heather tells the story and explains how there was torture inflicted upon 5 men, and they were found bound to each other, and the acts were committed while they were alive. And these acts included their intestines being pulled out and words being cut into their faces. Eventually, all 5 of these men died and were found the same way they were, just like bound to each other. And somebody came across their body, went to go tell somebody. But when they came back, the bodies had been removed by an unknown person. And that person still to this day is not known. The stench of death was still in the air when they returned, but the bodies were never recovered and the person was never found. So they walk on and they're filming a little bit, and it starts raining and it's starting to get dark. So they pitch their tents, and their plan is that they're going to be camping out, obviously, in the woods as they get their footage. So the first night goes off without a hitch. Everything's fine. The next morning they wake up, and Josh does say that he heard noises last night, and they were like, noises like what? And he says one was kind of like a cackling, which, okay, again, fucking terrifying enough to make me run out of the woods in fear. Thank you. So they get up, they pack camp, and they set off. And one of them is like, oh, tell Heather, like one of the guys is like, oh, tell Heather not to get us lost again. And she's like, don't worry, I know exactly where we're going. So they continue on, and Josh asks her, well, what's your take on the Blair Witch at this point? And Heather just says, I don't know. So obviously they're not really convinced. But then at this point, Heather is explaining, like, I know exactly where we're going, guys, don't worry. And they kind of start arguing. Like the guys are arguing that they're lost, and Heather's like, we're not lost, don't worry. They have a map, and they're looking at the map, and the guys are like, Heather, we don't know what the fuck this map says. And Heather's like, no, I know exactly where we are on this map. Like, you have to put your trust in me. And Mike's kind of already getting really irritated with Heather. He's like, why do you have to film every conversation? Like, just admit that you're lost and you don't really know where we are. And Heather's like, no, we're not lost. I know exactly where we are. We're going to find this cemetery. And then she makes a comment saying, we'll all look back on this and laugh. Lie detector determined that was a fucking lie because, spoiler alert, nobody is going to look back at this and laugh because they all die. So again, they continue on trying to find this cemetery, apparently, and they cross over. There's like a log over a river they have to cross over, and Heather's like, we're very close now. And then as they're walking, she stops and she's like, what's that story that like crazy Mary Brown told us from the Bible? And everybody's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, she told us about a story about a pile of rocks. And she says that as they come across these like random piles of rocks in the middle of the woods. So whatever, they move on and it's starting to become nighttime again. So once again, they stop and they set up camp. And so now it's dark and they start a fire and Heather starts filming like all these little rock piles that are kind of all around. And one of the guys knocks one over by accident. So they go to sleep and then all of a sudden the camera is completely dark and we just hear Heather saying hello. So she wakes up and she's saying hello. And now we hear them talking about how they heard something in the distance. And Heather keeps saying, like, it's all around us, because they're like, where is it coming from? She's like, I don't know where it's coming from. It's all around us. And Heather tells Mike, like, you're scared, whatever. You can't deny hearing it. So the three of them obviously are kind of freaked out. But the next morning comes around and Heather's like to Josh, you can't deny hearing that. Like, what do you think that was? And Josh is like, honestly, Heather, I think it's somebody fucking with you. And Heather's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, who knows that we're even out here? So morning comes around again. It's light out. And at this point, they decide they're going to make their way back to the car. So they start going back the way in which they came. And Mike is like, I don't really remember this area. And Heather insists that she knows where she is. Like, she still says she knows. And she's like, I know this is the direct way back to the car. So she does a map check and she's like, don't worry, we're still on trial, but this is going on for a long time. And at this point, like, they've been walking all day to really no avail and they haven't gotten back to the car and it's getting dark again. So Heather's like, okay, I think we need to set up camp. And Mike starts arguing with her. She's like, he's like, give me the map, and he's yelling. And Heather's like, I'm not giving you the map. You can't even read the map. Like, I know where we're going. The car's not far, but we're not going to be able to find it in the dark. So like, we literally just have to camp out. Everybody's pissed because they're like, we have to have this camera back at a certain time. I'm supposed to be at work tomorrow. Everybody's pissed, but whatever. They're like, okay, you're right. It's getting dark. We have to camp again. So they once again set up their tents to stay overnight. And once again, they wake up in the middle of the night to these sounds. And it sounds like the same things that they were hearing the night prior. So they say, like, whatever it was last night, it sounds like the same thing. And we start to hear noises at this point too, like as the audience. And Josh or somebody says, Heather, somebody says, oh, it could be deer. And Heather's like, I don't think it's deer because last night, it sounds like the same thing as last night. Like, it's on all sides of us. Like, it's not even coming from one area. It's coming from everywhere. So like the night prior, they go back to sleep. And then the next shot we get is them waking up in the morning. However, this time when they wake up in the morning, they find that they have set up camp perfectly between these three piles of rocks that are outside the tent. And they're like, those were not here last night. There is no possible way that we made a campsite perfectly in the middle of three piles of rocks. Those were not here. And at this point, like, everybody's freaked out. And Josh is like, we're clearly not wanted here. Let's fucking go. And this is where they stop yelling. They really start yelling at Heather about how much she's filming, because she is kind of like annoyingly filming. Like, she's like zooming in on all the rock piles, whatever. And like, obviously everybody's freaked out and just wants to get the fuck out of there. So they're yelling at her to stop filming. And eventually she does. And they start walking. The next shot is of Heather looking stressed. And she asks, did you take it? And Josh is like, no, I did not take the map. So now the fucking map is gone. And she admits that she doesn't have it. She's like, I don't have it. It's always in my same pocket. The only way it wouldn't be in my pocket is if one of you went in and took it. So a fight breaks out. And obviously, again, it's very evident that Heather no longer has the map. So basically, they're even more fucked than they already were. But they're like, okay, you know what? We've been walking south this whole time, so we just got to keep walking south. Heather is still kind of trying to be positive. She's like, it's hard to get lost in America these days and even harder to stay lost. Like, we're going to be fine. And Josh is talking about how, like, people are going to start noticing that they're missing, like, my girlfriend, my mom, whatever, when we don't show up to work. Like, somebody's going to be looking for us. We'll figure it out. So they get to another creek and they have to cross, and like, everybody's shoes get wet. So there's kind of like a moment where they're all laughing, and obviously everybody's stressed out, but they still take a moment to laugh. And during the laughter, Heather looks at them and is like, you guys aren't lying about the map, right? And this motherfucker Mike, through his laughter, goes, I kicked that fucking map into the creek yesterday. It was useless, as he's cracking up laughing. Now, again, a little fact here. So like I said, the actors were left little notes every day by the production crew, kind of giving them little prompts. Like, again, everything was improvised, but they would kind of prompt them or give them points that they had to make. And one of those points was left for Mike, and it was that he had to destroy the map. And the other two, Josh and Heather, didn't know this was the note that he was given for the day. So he, while the map was on the ground, kicked the map into the creek, thinking that Heather and Josh would see it, and they didn't. And then Mike kept that to himself until this moment. And again, I'm going to get more into this later, but like, keep in mind, they were also really using this map because the directors and the production crew were keeping contact with them, but they were like from afar, and like Heather, Josh, and Mike didn't even know they were like really in the woods with them. So they were really using the map. So now at this point, they being Josh and Heather, start yelling like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, they're screaming. And now Mike screaming back is like, the map wasn't doing anything. And Heather's like crying and screaming. She's like, "If we die out here, it is your fucking fault. Like, how dare you? I knew where we were on that map, and like, you just fuck it. You fucked us." So fighting continues. Mike apologizes. It doesn't even matter. Heather's like, "I knew exactly where we were on that map." And Josh is like, "Listen, Heather, admit that you have been screwed the moment we came out here. Like, you had no fucking idea where we were the whole time. We like immediately got lost." And Heather's like, "Okay, you know what? Fuck you guys. We got to keep going south. That's what we've been doing." And now this is where they come across the most iconic image from this film. And again, if you've seen the film, or even if you've seen like the cover of this film, you know what I mean. So it's like the little stick figure. It's made of twigs, and it's like in a cross with then like an X going through it. So they come across like hundreds of these symbols hanging from the trees in the woods. So once again, Heather obviously is filming the whole thing. Everybody's like, "Heather, stop fucking filming. We gotta go." Mike starts like screaming out for help at this point, which like is pointless. They're in the middle of the woods, and Heather's like, "Okay, safe to say we're lost." Like, finally comes to terms with the fact that they are absolutely fucked. And once again, night falls, and they have no other option but to set up camp. And one of the guys, I think, says, "Well, how about we not light a fire? Because like, the first night we didn't light a fire and nothing happened, but the last two nights we lit a fire and we heard some like sketchy weird shit." So they do that, but obviously it doesn't work, because they once again hear sketchy weird shit, and this time it's even scarier. So they wake up this time to sounds like cackling and laughing, like children's laughter. And it's fucking terrifying. And again, a little fun fact, that was real, like the children's laughter. So it was actually filmed. I think Eduardo Sanchez's like fiance or somebody recorded some children in his neighborhood laughing and playing, and they were playing that on speakers in the woods. So like, Heather, Josh, and Mike had no idea that they were going to wake up to this, and they just woke up in the middle of the woods, in the middle of fucking nowhere, in the dark, to children laughing. I can't even fucking imagine. So their terror is already entirely real, and then all of a sudden the tent starts violently shaking. And once again, the actors had no idea this was going to happen. So the three of them, in a panic, run out into the woods. They have no shoes on, so they're screaming, they're running. You still hear these children laughing in the background, and like these screams and these cackles. And all of a sudden you start hearing Heather screaming, "What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that?" And this is a really cool little fact. I'm gonna get to this at the end though, because this is one of my favorite ones. And again, just like the fear that these actors must have felt. So Heather is screaming, "What the fuck is that?" We never see what she's talking about. And again, if you don't know like what went on behind the scenes in this movie, you wouldn't know what she's talking about. So I'll tell you about that later. But they end up hiding in the woods, and they hide out there until dawn. So they like literally crouch together like under a tree, and they hide out there until the sun comes up because they're so terrified. So the sun starts coming up, and they go back to their campsite, and they discover that Josh's pack is missing, and his water is gone. Like, any food that he had left is gone, and there is slime covering his camera. Like, his camera is completely covered in this like slime-like substance. So Josh and Mike are once again yelling at Heather to turn the fucking camera off, and she's like, "No, I want to get what we can. I need to get what we can." So they pack up and they start walking, and they get to the stream where there's like this log down. So they have to like cross the stream on this log again. Now, time moves very quickly in this movie because like, it mostly shows what happens to them at night. But at this point, they've been walking like basically all day. And there's a point where like, we see Josh kind of laying down on the ground, and Mike makes a comment about how like, he's lost it. Like, just let him have his moment, whatever. And they get up and they start walking again. And they're talking about how whatever it is going to come back. It's getting worse every single night. Like, we need to get the fuck out of here. And then all of a sudden, they come across the stream with the log down that they just crossed earlier in the day. So they discover that they have been going in fucking circles. They're like, we walked south all day. I don't know how we ended up here. Heather at this point starts crying and she's like trying to deny it at first. She's like, it's not the same log. It's not the same log. And then she's like, it fucking is the same log. Like, we've literally been walking south all day. How is this possible? Now, another behind the scenes fact, this is the point, I believe, where the production crew purposely made Heather, Josh, and Mike walk in circles. Like, they purposely like set them off in the wrong direction. And the three of them had truly been walking all day. And so when they get to that and like Heather starts crying, that's like a genuine reaction, because at this point they had filmed for a total of 8 days. And this is like later on in those 8 days, they gave them less and less food. Again, I'll get to all of that later. But they're just like miserable at this fucking point. And they had spent a whole day walking in the same exact direction just to end up at point A again. So their reactions and like the hopelessness in their voices is entirely genuine. So they're like, okay, well, we've been going south all day. Somehow we ended up back in the same spot. So tomorrow we're going to go east. But again, it's getting dark again. So we need to fucking set up camp. And Mike is like, I'll take first watch, which like, okay, they're going to sleep in shifts. That's smart.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now, this part is like really sad, I think, because like we all probably were like, Heather, fucking stop filming at some point. But now Josh is just like taunting her. He has the camera in her face and he's like, okay, like, this is your inspiration. We're lost. We're going to die. Like, he's just being like really cruel to her. And she's just like crying and saying like, please stop. And Josh is like, she's still making movies. That's my point. And Heather at this point is like, it's all I have left, which is like really sad. And, Josh is kind of like, oh, I see why you do this, because it's kind of like a different world through this lens. And basically you realize that Heather is still filming because it's helping her dissociate from this helpless situation that they're in. So night falls. Once again, they set up a tent. They're now all three sleeping in the same tent just because of everything that's been going on. And they're kind of having this conversation and like, it's sad. Mike's like, I just really want my mom's mashed potatoes. Like, it's just, you feel bad for them. And nothing happens that night. However, when they wake up in the morning, they discover that Josh is gone. So Heather and Mike go out. They're screaming for him. And Heather's like, we never go out of earshot. Something's wrong. Like, he's not here. They search a little bit. Like, they go look at the creek. He's nowhere to be found. Josh is gone. And Heather at this point is like crying and makes a comment like, we can't even find the car. How are we going to find him? So they like try and wait for Josh. And obviously he doesn't come back. So they don't really have another choice but to pack up and keep moving east. So Mike makes a funny comment. He's like, Wicked Witch of the West or Wicked Witch of the East? Like, which one is the bad one? And they're like, the Wicked Witch of the West is the bad one. And he's like, okay, then we're going east. So we see them still walking, just like to absolutely no avail. And a whole nother day goes by and they get nowhere. So once again, they set up camp. However, this night, they wake up not to cackling, not to children screaming, but to Josh yelling. So the both of them get out of the tent and they're screaming for Josh. And they're like, Josh, Josh, and Josh is screaming, like, help, help. And Mike is like, do you think it's them fucking with us? And like, I don't even think he knows who he means by them. But at this point, they're like, I don't think this is really him, because if that was really Josh, he would have said where he was. And that's just like another fucking terrifying thing to me. Or at least this part is another one that sends chills down my spine. Heather says, whatever it was, it sounded like Josh. This is why I don't fuck with the woods. So morning comes around and Heather wakes up and she finds this like pile of sticks that are tied together. And they are tied together with a fabric that looks familiar. And it looks familiar because it's part of Josh's fucking shirt. So she picks it up and she fucking throws it. She's like, nope, I don't want anything to do with that. So Mike ends up finding some cigarettes and they both like smoke a cigarette, whatever. But then Heather goes back to the sticks. And the reason that Heather goes back to the sticks, just another aside here, is once again, this movie was entirely improvised. And when she found that pile of sticks, she absolutely fucking threw it. Like she was like, I want nothing to do with this. I'm fucking terrified. This is like day eight of me being in the middle of the woods. No. And the crew ended up walkie talkieing her and was like, Heather, we really need you to go and like examine the pile of sticks. So Heather goes back and looks at the pile of sticks, and inside of it, she finds a pouch that's full of blood, and she starts screaming, and we don't know why she's screaming, but then we look and we see that the reason she is screaming is because there is a bloody tooth and fucking hair in this pouch. The tooth, by the way, a real human tooth. And she had no idea that she was about to find this. A real human tooth, probably in real human blood. That might be like dramatic. And the hair was actually Josh's. So real human hair and a real human fucking tooth. So she finds this. She's washing her hands off in the creek because obviously now they're covered in fucking human blood. And Mike's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she doesn't tell him. And probably because she doesn't want to freak Mike out more, but she doesn't tell him. She's like, no, I'm just like tired. I'm hungry. I want to get out of here. I'm just washing my hands off. Like, let's fucking go. And once again, they have another day of walking to absolutely no avail. They get nowhere. And night falls. And once again, they set up camp. And this is where we get the most iconic scene of this film. And like maybe one of the most iconic scenes in like found footage history specifically, and maybe even horror history. This movie, this moment is so iconic. So we get a close-up shot of Heather. And another fun fact, the reason that this was close up is because Heather, Mike, and Josh did all the filming for this movie, like legit. They are the ones that carried the camera. I think there was maybe one or two scenes that were actually shot by the directors, but the three actors actually filmed this the whole time. And when Heather went to go turn the camera around on her, she thought it was further out, but it ended up being zoomed in. But the directors kept it in the movie because they liked how like gritty and raw it is, and like the close-up of her face with all the snot and the tears of it. They were like, we think that really like portrayed the ugliness of the situation and just the helplessness of the situation. So Heather's filming herself again. She's crying. She has like snot running from her nose. She's obviously completely helpless. She's given up. And in this video, she apologizes to Mike's mom, to Josh's mom, to her mom. She says that she is sorry to everyone. And she explains how she was so naive and she's sorry for everything. It's her fault because it was her project. She says it was my project and I insisted. I insisted that we weren't lost. I insisted that we keep going. I insisted that we walked south. Everything had to be my way. So now it's my fault that we're here tired, hungry, and hunted. Which like that again, just like chill down my fucking spine because they are absolutely being hunted. And she goes on to just say like, I love you, mom, and I love you, dad. And then she goes on to deliver the most iconic line of the whole movie. She says, I'm scared to close my eyes. I'm scared to open them. I'm going to die out here. Shout out to Heather Donahue, man. And I'm going to get into some stuff after that makes me like really sad about this whole thing. But like, underrated fucking actress. She absolutely sold this part, and like this scene specifically is the reason that people were out here believing that this girl was really missing or really dead, because how could you have that level of fucking emotion and like raw emotion if you're not actually going through the situation? And I think that did have a lot to do with like how the actors were being treated, because like their fight or flight was absolutely kicked in the situation. They were definitely helpless. They were scared. They were fucking tired. They were hungry. Like a lot of it was real. So Heather and Mike once again go to sleep, and they once again wake up to hear Josh screaming. But this time they decide to follow the screaming. And instead of finding woods and creeks like they have been the whole time, this time they find an abandoned house. And they hear that the screams are coming from inside the house. So they walk into the house and they hear Josh's screams coming from upstairs. And now we're just seeing this like shaky footage of them as they're going through this house and going up the stairs. We see these child handprints on the wall. Okay. Again, this house is like completely run down, abandoned. There's like graffiti, fucking child handprints all over the wall, and these like runes and like these symbols. So they both go upstairs to follow the voice. And then They then hear the voice coming from downstairs, and Mike's like, he's in the basement, he's in the basement. And he runs to the basement. And when he gets to the basement, we just see Mike drop his camera on its side and we see nothing else. And then we get Heather's angle. And at this point, she's screaming, screaming, screaming for Mike. She's like, Mike, Mike, screaming, screaming, goes to the basement to follow him. And her camera turns perfectly to see that Mike is standing in the corner, facing the corner. And all of a sudden, Heather's camera drops and her screaming completely stops. The movie cuts to black and the credits fucking roll. Now, when this movie came out, they had actually, some people said that they were confused by the ending. So they'd actually considered like refilming a different ending. And they did, I think, like refilm like four different alternate endings before deciding to keep in the original one. I don't personally really understand what's that confusing, because the whole point of him being in the corner is that like that Rustin Parr guy who was the hermit that like captured and killed these seven kids, this is how he killed them. They explained that at the beginning. So he would make one kid face the wall and then would kill the other one and then would kill the kid in the corner. So that just leaves us to assume that Heather and Mike are both killed in the same exact fashion. So obviously I've told you a lot as we've gone, but let's talk more about like the lore behind this movie that makes it like so iconic to me. So first things first, this movie was filmed primarily in 1997, and the Blair Witch Project is thought to be the first film that was released and that was primarily marketed by the internet. Because again, kids, remember 1997 and this movie was released in 1999. The internet was a brand spanking new fucking thing. So in 1998, there was a public relations firm that was hired, and they created this website that was launched in June of that year. And it featured like fake police reports, fake missing posters with Heather, Mike, and Josh's photos on them and like their information on them, fake interviews, fake like police investigation footage. So people during this time 1000% believed that this movie was completely factual and that these three people did go missing. And mind you, like these weren't some like big name actors. Like I think this was probably like, if not their first, then their first like big project that they were on. And people believed this to the point that Heather Donahue's mother started receiving sympathy cards in the mail from people like apologizing for her daughter being missing. Not to mention, in the first year after this movie was released, the IMDb pages listed the actors as missing, presumed dead. So like that continued on for a year after this film was released. So people truly believed that this was real. Like the website had like childhood photos of them to just add to the authenticity of it. And by August 1999, so like a little bit after a year after it launched, the website had received 160 million hits. And again, mind you, this is a time where the internet is not nearly as common as it is today. So this film was created on a super low budget. I think it was between like $35,000 to $60,000. I think $60,000 was like the finishing budget that they went with. And this premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, and there was so much interest sparked about it, again, because like people really thought that these people were missing or dead and that this was a real thing, that Artisan Entertainment bought the rights to the movie for $1.1 million fucking dollars off a $60,000 budget. And on top of that, this is actually the 29th most profitable horror film ever released, and I believe it made back about $248 million. A $60,000 movie made back $248 million, and for a time it actually held the Guinness Book of World Records for the top budget box office ratio, because again, that like the ratio ended up being $1 spent for every $10,931 made. That's fucking insane. So once again, as I already said, the whole point of this movie was to improvise. So the audition process for it was really informal, because they were like, well, it's not a scripted movie, so I don't think we should really have like a scripted audition. So they were actually, I'm a huge Heather Donahue stan, honestly, because of her work on this movie. And the directors intended that the film cast was going to be three males, but they were so impressed with Heather's audition that they ended up casting her. And one of the reasons that they were so impressed by her audition is one of the questions they would ask, because again, like they wanted to see people who could improvise and they wanted people with some really good improvising techniques. And one of the questions they asked was like, you've served 7 years of a 9-year sentence and you're up for parole. what would you say? And like, how would you sell yourself? Like, why should we let you out? And Heather's response was, you shouldn't let me out. And she did a whole bit about that. And she ended up impressing them so much that, again, supposed to be three men and we got a fucking badass bitch in the mix. Now, I don't blame her for this at all. When she went, because she knew she was going to be with these two men and these random fucking like production crew members. So she actually took a knife with her into the woods because she was like uneasy about sleeping by these two men that she didn't even know in a tent, like sharing a tent with them. And it said that as they were walking into the woods the first time, Heather made mention of like, I think they might be making a fucking snuff film. Like it like finally hit her. She's like, I think they might be making a snuff film. Like it's very possible. Like the directors are going to try to kill us, which again, I don't blame her because this whole production was so fucking sketchy. So it took 8 days for them to shoot this film. In its entirety. So they spent this 8 days again, primarily in the woods. And the directors and the film crew kept in contact with the three of them via walkie-talkie to make sure that they wouldn't become lost during filming. Like they kind of gave them the directions to go, but they still got lost at least three times, like greatly lost. And again, sometimes they intentionally got them lost to add to the authenticity of what was going on and add to the fear of being lost in the middle of the woods and add to the hopelessness of the fact that you've literally been walking through the woods all day for nothing. Fuck you. You've been going in a circle. I said this one earlier, but the three lead actors did believe that the Blair Witch was a real legend during the whole filming process. Obviously, like the plants that were the townspeople contributed to that. And it wasn't even until the film's release that they found out. So the film released and they finally were starting to hear like, oh yeah, the Blair Witch isn't real. And they found that out for the first time. Now, I said something earlier about how like they were hungry at this point. And the reason that they were hungry is because every day, again, they would get like a bin with stuff in it, like the three actors. So they would get like the little notes of like the prompts and whatnot. And every single day they purposely gave them less and less food. So they were in the woods for 8 days. And I think by day whatever the ending days, their only thing they had was like one water bottle, a power bar, and like a little something else. That was their whole, like all their food each for one day. And that was obviously supposed to like contribute to the animosity and the helplessness and like the absolute despair. Like I said, Heather, Josh, and Mike were really the cameramen / camera woman, Heather, shout out, for this whole movie. There was a few scenes that were filmed by the directors, but mostly it was filmed by them. And there was the point that I mentioned earlier about Heather screaming, what the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? And the reason that this didn't go down was because they were genuinely so scared they forgot what they were supposed to do. So that scene where they're running out of the tent and Heather yells, what the fuck is that? The camera was supposed to pan to the left. And you were like, the audience was supposed to briefly see a woman in a white gown, which I think actually was a man dressed up in like all white in the distance. But because they were so scared, they forgot to turn the camera. Because again, this was after the tent shaking scene. They had no idea that was going to happen. They had no idea where the kids' cries and screaming was coming from. So they were genuinely so terrified. They ran out forgetting what the fuck they were even supposed to do. Personally, I think that made this movie way more effective because I think seeing like a figure in a white gown in the distance would have been a little cheesy. And it is cited that one of the inspirations for this movie is Jaws, in the sense that like you don't really see the villain, like you see the shark for a very minimal amount of time. And they decided like, you know what, it's actually best that we don't see the witch. And again, I personally think that's way more effective. I think that is way fucking scarier that like we just have this image of like the woman, the old woman whose feet never touch the ground and we never actually see her. It leaves our brains able to like interpret it and fill in the blanks, which is way fucking scarier than seeing some guy dressed in a white gown. Now, the three main actors, to kind of like maintain again the authenticity and the fear factor, agreed that they were going to stay in character for the entirety of the 8 days of filming. And the film crew, like the director specifically, had an agreement to not intervene. So they were not supposed to intervene with the crew at all. They only talked to them through walkie-talkies to kind of guide them in the right direction. And they obviously like left them their little packets or whatever, which they would do in the middle of the night while they were sleeping, so they wouldn't even see them. However, there was apparently so much animosity between Heather and Josh that at one point the director, I think it was Sanchez, had to break his own rule and had to run out and intervene because he thought that they were going to get into a physical altercation. Which is funny because in the movie, like, it's kind of Mike who's the antagonists, and like Heather and Josh are friends. They've been friends for years, and Mike's kind of like the really negative, awful one that's fighting with everybody all the time. But actually, it was like the complete opposite. And it got so bad that in the end of this movie, where Josh is the one to go missing, it was actually originally written that Mike was going to be the one to go missing. But because of the amount of just like tension there was between Heather and Josh, they were like, you know what? Let's just remove Josh from the equation and let's have him be the one that goes missing. Going back to the whole like how Heather thought this was a snuff film thing. So each of the three actors was required to sign a release that granted the production crew permission to, I quote, mess with your head, end quote. Which is just so fucked up because like you basically just gave them the power to do whatever. And again, like the best example of this is the tent attack when they violently shake the tent and there's like all the kids screaming. And then obviously like we as an audience, we as people who are into this movie and read the background on it, know that they saw this like white dressed figure in the distance. So again, their downright terror and that like fight or flight response of them literally like fleeing from the tent is 1000% real. Now, I think Heather Donahue is like the baddest bitch ever, and she actually wrote her own monologue for the initial scenes of the documentary, and she also like completely improvised that scene where she's apologizing to her mom. Like again, the most iconic scene ever. But unfortunately, this made me really sad. She actually says that she regrets using her real name on this movie because like obviously, again, their characters were their real government given names, because it actually led to her having difficulty finding other roles, which I can't imagine why. But it's almost like she just got typecast as Heather from the Blair Witch Project, and then she wasn't able to act after that anymore. And in 2008, she actually like officially retired from acting, which is like truly such a loss, because this girl, I think, has so much potential, and like that potential, we saw it in Blair Witch, and I think she could have done so many more great things. And it just makes me really sad that she just like got this backlash. So this fact I actually think is really funny and really speaks to how much of a whirlwind this movie was. So it's actually documented that the 1999 to 2000 hunting season was greatly affected by this movie because fans from all over the country were going into the woods to shoot their own like Blair Witch style mockumentary type thing. And it was to the point where it kept wildlife scared away from hunting areas. So that's like literally documented that hunting season suffered greatly because of the Blair Witch Project. Another absolute fun fact, and maybe my favorite fun fact about this movie, is so Stephen King was in the hospital recovering from a car crash that almost killed him when this movie was released, and his son ended up bringing him a VHS tape of the movie for him to watch. And he told his son to turn it off halfway through because he said it was too freaky. The best compliment I can ever imagine in this world is Stephen King saying that something you created is too freaky. Our fucking Lord and Savior thinking something is too freaky. Iconic. So again, the three lead actors were literally in the woods for the whole 8 days of filming, with the exception of one night, because on the third day of filming, it rained severely. There was a really heavy storm, and they returned to the campsite only to find that their tent had leaked through. All of their belongings, like their bedding, their sleeping bags, everything was completely soaked. They tried to contact the crew through their walkie-talkies. They weren't allowed to carry cell phones. And by the way, this is also like 1997. So like cell phones aren't really fucking working in the middle of the woods anyway. But the walkie-talkies didn't work, probably because they were out of signal. Or out of range, whatever you say when walkie-talkies can't be used. But luckily, they had a GPS that had been pre-programmed with like escape routes in case they got lost. And they ended up finding a nearby home, which allowed them to come in and let them use their phone to contact the directors, which they did. And the directors ended up coming up to like pick them up. They took them to a motel so they could like shower because they were all wet. And they slept in a nice warm bed for one of the 8 nights. So this movie only took 8 days to film. However, it took them 8 months to edit. And the reason for that is they ended up filming over 20 hours worth of footage. And the first cut of the movie was about 2.5 hours long. And they cut that down further. And the final cut is about 81 minutes long. And now the director said that their base camp was in a house that Eduardo Sanchez had shared with his girlfriend or fiance or whatever, and it was about like 33 miles from Burkittsville, and there was 10 to 15 of them there for 6 weeks. They were like sleeping on couches, sleeping on the floor, because like the shoot obviously took 8 days and was like a 24/7 operation, and then like the actual editing part after it. So there really was a lot of like time and effort put into this movie, not only by the actors, but by the production crew as well. I'm re-looking at my facts. Blair High School, it was attended by Eduardo Sanchez's sister, not fiance. So correcting myself there. These actors were like actually in so much distress and just like so in character that at one point in the movie, when Mike tries to force Heather to put the camera down, she physically bit him. Like the girl bit the man, which like, honestly, I'm a Heather stan, so she can do whatever the fuck she wants. I support it, queen. I'm just like reading more facts as I go. And I actually didn't realize that the girl who says that she attended Blair High School actually is Sandra Sanchez, Eduardo's sister, who in real life did attend Blair High School. And that's where the name The Blair Witch Project was born. So, wow, I'm learning more this episode, too, guys. We're all in it together. Now, talking about the ending scene. The little handprints on the wall. So there was a bunch of graffiti on this house because it was obviously like an abandoned house in the middle of the woods. So a bunch of people had like painted graffiti on it. So they painted over the graffiti and they actually had two of the nephews of one of the production assistants come in and like stick their hands in black paint or red paint and press them onto the walls. So actual children's handprints, but purposely put there. And finally, just to like add to the realism and like the genuine reactions that were present in this movie. So, like I said, Mike was actually the one that was intended to go missing, but he didn't know this at the time because, again, they weren't like leaving the prompts until the night before. So the night before, they had left the prompt for Josh saying, wait for the others to fall asleep and leave. And he just walked out. So Heather and Mike didn't know that this was going to happen. They didn't know that Josh was going to leave, and they had no idea where Josh actually went. And then at the end of the movie, they had no idea what to expect when they went into that house. They were just told to follow Josh's voice into the house. So Mike's prompt was that he was supposed to run up and down the stairs like yelling for Josh before running into the basement, and that he was to keep Heather as far behind him as possible. And when he got down there, two of the production assistants, who were just dressed entirely in black, grabbed him and told him to stand facing the corner. So Heather goes into the basement not knowing what the fuck she's gonna see, and when they went down there, they also grabbed her and like gently placed the camera on the floor while they were telling her to stop screaming. But because of like sound issues and just Heather, this scene had to be shot twice because the first time they did it, she was so scared. She was genuinely hyperventilating, and they need to like cut to calm her down. Which, like, props to these actors, man, especially Heather. Like, just props to all these actors for not knowing what the fuck they were getting themselves into. Like, imagine just being in the middle of the woods in the dark, and like you're in this basement of this house, and these two people just come out of nowhere and fucking grab you. Like, no. Personally, I'm throwing hands immediately. So these people are a lot better than I am. But the way that they did this, like, I guess it can be looked at as like, this is kind of unethical how you were treating these actors. But like at the same time, it got us such an iconic movie. And like the raw emotion is so real and just unmatched. And for that reason, this is why The Blair Witch Project is the movie that I would choose if you asked me which horror movie would you have liked to be on the set for. And I don't want to be on the set like in the position of these actors. I honestly don't know if I would have been able to handle that, but maybe one of the film crew that is just like watching from afar and using a walkie-talkie. But there you have it, a full recap and all the lore and crazy shenanigans that happened on the set of The Blair Witch Project. And I hope that this made you appreciate this movie more. I just think this is like probably the most iconic found footage film ever. Like when we talk about found footage, there's before Blair Witch and there's after Blair Witch. Like it was just such a pivotal turning point and it deserves its place in like the horror icon community. And again, like I think personally for me, what makes it so iconic is how it was filmed and how it was made and the marketing behind it and the fact that like this instilled so much fear in so many people because they all thought it was real at the time. So thanks for coming along with me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I don't know yet what we're going to be talking about next week. I think I want to do like an exorcism movie. So either The Exorcist or The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I haven't decided, but it'll probably be one or the other. So until then, make sure you follow me on TikTok and Instagram. You should know it by now, but it's horror_chronicles. I post especially on TikTok basically every day. So until next time, watch more horror movies and stay spooky, my friends.